On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? And what does it look like to love them? As far as our everyday use of the word goes, a neighbor is someone physically close to us, the person sitting next to you right now, the person who occupies the desk next to you at school or in the office, the person sitting next to you on the bus or the tube, or the person who lives next door to you. As this list of possible neighbors shows, our neighbor can be quite a lot of people. So it might be not surprising that the lawyer is testing Jesus in the gospel and wants to get a bit more of a definition of who exactly our neighbor is. And rather than giving the lawyer and everyone listening an easy to use, narrowed down definition like, "Your neighbor is the person living next door to you, up to 2 doors down either side," or something along those lines, Jesus tells a story with an ever widening definition of our neighbor. Our neighbors are all who show us mercy and whom we show mercy. In Jesus' story, 2 people from different ethnicities, Jewish and Samaritan, become neighbors to one another despite the historic enmity between these 2 ethnic groups. The Samaritan, typically looked down on by Jewish people, shows the Jewish person in need of mercy. Who is our neighbour? A person in need of mercy. A person showing us mercy. The person next to us on the bus in distress. Our co-worker going through a relationship breakdown. The person sitting in front of the shop in need of food or something to drink. The person bringing over some food when we are sick. The person in the shop showing kindness as our child is having a full-blown meltdown. The co-worker listening to us on a particularly demoralizing day. Our neighbour is anyone showing us mercy, anyone we encounter in need of mercy. And in the global village we live in, our neighbour might be halfway around the world and not just a couple doors away. Jesus' definition of our neighbour is ever widening, as the story of the Good Samaritan shows. It includes people who are very different to us, people we might even consider our enemies. It is easier to consider someone our neighbour who is very similar to us. But Jesus' definition of our neighbour is a challenge to us in its inclusivity. We all have people we at the very least secretly hope don't fully count as our neighbours. Because they are simply too different from us. Because of their political views, because of their class, because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, because of ethnicity or culture, or simply because we find them to be a bit difficult for one reason or another. How can we love our neighbours when we are more inclined to treat our neighbours with the kind of suspicion and long-standing dislike that was customary between Samaritan and Jewish people in the days of Jesus? How are we to love our neighbour when we would rather pretend we haven't seen anything, like the priest or the Levite in Jesus' story? Maybe it is helpful to wonder a bit about why Jesus insists on such a broad definition of who our neighbour is. Jesus is the Son of God. And he was born and lived as a Jewish man, yet as the Son of God, who created all things and all human beings, his care encompasses all of creation and each and every human being. All human beings, in all our manifold differences and diversity, are made in the image of God. And so each of us reflects something of God's beauty and glory. None of us can contain all of who God is. God is too vast to be contained in just one kind of human being, which is why we are so diverse in cultures, within our bodies, in the ways our brain works, in our gifts, and in all the different aspects that make us who we are. So, when we struggle to love some of our neighbours, maybe it is helpful for us to try and go on a bit of a treasure hunt, of trying to find glimpses of God's beauty and glory in the other. So having come to grips with Jesus's ever-widening definition of our neighbour, being anyone from whom we receive mercy or who needs mercy, the follow-up question is, how do we love our neighbour well? In the case of the Good Samaritan, things were pretty obvious. There was an urgent need for medical attention and a safe place to heal and recover. And sometimes loving our neighbour is that straightforward. Someone is hungry or thirsty, they need a decent meal or a bottle of water. Someone has gotten hurt and needs us to call for an ambulance or to help them get to A&E. But sometimes things might be not so straightforward. Then I believe it is quite important to remember the second half of Jesus' command to love our neighbour. We are to love our neighbour as ourselves. Now, as we have reflected on quite a bit so far, human beings are very different. And in our differences, our needs of being loved and cared for can also be quite different. So when I'm having a tough day, what helps me to get through it might be utterly useless to you when you have a tough day. In order to love our neighbour as ourselves, as we might like to be loved and cared for ourselves when we need mercy, it is therefore helpful to be open for different ways of loving. As Jesus encountered people in need of mercy, he often asked them, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus didn't simply decide for them. Jesus asked what kind of help they wanted and needed. So as we go about trying to love whatever neighbours God puts in our path, let us remember to be curious, to ask and to listen to how they want and need to be loved. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." Who might be the neighbour God puts in our path this coming week? How will we go about loving them as ourselves, as we would want to be loved and cared for?